Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be continuing a series we've been doing called By Candlelight They Suffer. This is sent in by Jarrett, and if you've been following along so far, I hope you're enjoying yourself. We're going to be continuing today, and a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. Let's get started. Brooke couldn't suppress a giggle as she stopped recording. Every grimy little detail had been captured. The ridiculous-looking beret, the screaming, the chocolate milk dripping down Chloe's old lady jacket while those freshman boys laughed themselves senseless. It was horrible, and honestly, a little hilarious. Brooke glanced around before lowering her phone into her lap. The bus rumbled onward toward Patterson High while Chloe sat frozen three rows ahead, staring down at the floor like a war survivor with PTSD. She hadn't moved. The milk left a blotchy brown stain on her outfit, glaringly apparent against the morning sunlight beaming in from the windows. Brooke bit the inside of her cheek to stop herself from laughing again. Without thinking, she opened her messages and sent the video to Jade. The typing bubble appeared almost instantly. Jade.
Oh my god. Brooke, this is art. Hold up. Was that a milk carton that was chucked at her head?
Brooke typed quickly beneath the seat back in front of her. Brooke.
Yes, I'm dying.
Jade.
No friggin' way. I told you to keep an open mind.
Brooke's smile faded as her eyes drifted back toward Chloe. The laughter had died down, but Chloe still sat slumped in her seat, shoulders drawn inward. Brooke's memory flashed back to sitting in that bathroom stall yesterday. Jade sent another message.
She deserved it.
Brooke stared at the text for a prolonged moment after the bus pulled into Patterson High. Maddie Pemberton had just hung up on Chloe as she moved through the front office like she belonged there, which, in a very real way, she did. Patterson High revolved around girls like her. The powerful student council girls with perfect grades, perfect posture, perfect hair, and fathers who donated enough money to get buildings named after them. She felt bad for Chloe. It sounded like she was having a tumultuous morning, but Maddie had more pressing matters to attend to. Not that she wouldn't have picked Chloe up. After all, she was second in command in the clique after Jordan's backstab. But time didn't allow for it. She hoped Chloe wouldn't take riding the bus personally. The thought of herself riding the bus flashed through her mind and made her shudder as she walked down a circular hallway in the school's front office. Finally, she found what she was looking for, wedged in the back of the wing by the guidance counselor's suite. The fluorescent lights buzzed overhead as she stepped into the tiny windowless printing office. The door wasn't see-through and felt nice and private, exactly what she needed. Student council members technically weren't supposed to use the printers unsupervised, but nobody questioned Maddie. Her glossy black pumps clicked crisply against the tile floor as she set her purse down beside the copy machine. Today's outfit had been chosen carefully, a white tailored skirt suit with a black dress shirt underneath, and a gold Patterson High pin stabbed neatly through the collar, covering the top button. She was cordial with all faculty members, a lesson she learned early on, and supposed that dressing older than she was helped with her image. This was perhaps part of the reason adults always seemed to implicitly trust her, because they always trusted someone who dressed better than they did. After all, most teachers at this school seemed to wear shirts and jeans. Maddie couldn't imagine how destitute she looked in something like that. She poked her head out the door and made sure no one was coming down the hall, and pulled out the loading tray to the large, industrial-sized printer. She stared at her reflection in the dark scanner glass for a moment, as gorgeous as ever. She smiled as she pulled out a legal-sized envelope from her purse. Flipping open the envelope revealed a set of three papers she made light last night. The first was a cover page which read, Patterson High School Cafeteria Initiative for the 2026 to 2027 school year. Underneath sat a harmless question. Would you support an initiative to build a Chick-fil-A in the Patterson High School cafeteria? Below the page was blank, except for the Patterson High School crest centered in the bottom margin. The second paper was also a cover page which read, "Jordan Halstead is the biggest slut in school." Below this page, however, were dozens of empty signature lines that Maddie planned to forge ineligible scrawls on. Just enough to convince the bitch that this whole thing was real. Because if Jordan saw a blank page, it could very easily have been slapped on top, and then Jordan might suspect. But this way, there would be no doubt in her mind about how many people hated her guts. The third page consisted of blank signature lines from top to bottom. Keeping the other two sheets in the folder, she slid this third signature line page face down and aligned it against the copier edge, then printed out 20 copies. Fresh, warm sheets slid out one after another as she grabbed them and made them into her packet. This should give her hundreds of signatures. Once they were printed, she took a paperclip, never a staple, which would leave a distinguishable mark, and slipped the Chick-fil-A question on top. Then, once she had enough signatures, she'd switch it from the Jordan cover page and then mail it to her door anonymously. Ingenious, honestly. She adjusted the stack carefully, making sure the offensive page stayed in the envelope in her purse. Suddenly, the office door creaked open behind her, and Mrs. Amber Jackson, an honors English teacher Maddie had taken junior year, stepped inside. "Oh, hello, Maddie," she said, seeming surprised someone else was in here. Maddie put a hand over her chest and gave a bright smile. "Hi, Mrs. Jackson. You startled me. How are you?" "I'm great. How's your senior year been?" "Just so good," she said in a high-pitched, chirpy tone. "Still dressed to impress, I see," Mrs. Jackson said. Maddie kicked up one of her feet, showing off her shoes. "You better believe it." Mrs. Jackson shook her head. "You're just so young. I don't know how you walk in those ankle breakers all day." Maddie's smile widened as she planted her foot back down and beamed at the teacher. "Just lots and lots of practice." Mrs. Jackson's gaze settled on the stack of papers in Maddie's hand. "What do we have here?" she asked, bending slightly to study it. "Oh, a little petition the student council body dreamt up for a Chick-fil-A." Mrs. Jackson gave a nod of approval. "Well, good luck, young lady. You're unlikely to succeed even if you get all those signatures, but I'll be your first one." Oh, this was too much. Just too much. Maddie flipped over the Chick-fil-A cover page, revealing the first blank signature lines. Luckily for Maddie, Mrs. Jackson's signature turned out to be a looping, crazy mess of cursive that was illegible. If Jordan got the petition and could make out a teacher's signature, it would put Maddie in a crazy amount of hot water. She wasn't sure if Jordan had ever taken Mrs. Jackson's class, but even if she had, she was unlikely to recognize it. And so, as the teacher slipped a pen from her purse, bent and signed the first signature line in the upper left-hand corner, Maddie Pemberton couldn't help but chuckle. Jordan thought she could cheat on her best friend's boyfriend. Fine, but what goes around is about to come around. Oh, yes, and she was about to see what true humiliation felt like. Don't dish it out if you can't take it. Brooke was still grinning to herself when she rounded the corner and walked directly over to Jade. She sported no jacket today, rather a black long-sleeved shirt adorning the logo of some obscure metal band, because Jade never wore any other color and never listened to any other music genre. With the same jeans and studded belt as yesterday. The second Jade saw her expression, she stuck out her tongue between a toothy grin. Brooke rushed over.
"Oh my God," she gasped, grabbing Jade's arm. "It's absolutely diabolical."
Jade's eyes widened theatrically.
"Right? It's so delicious. Are you a believer yet?"
Jade asked, batting her eyelashes. Brooke immediately sobered.
"That's what I wanted to ask you about."
Jade rolled her eyes.
"Oh, here we go again. Let me guess. Did we curse her? Yada, yada, yada. I feel bad because blah, blah, blah. Come on, Jade. I'm serious. How much of this," she whipped out her phone and wiggled it in the air, "was because of yesterday?"
Jade spread her hands innocently.
"Hey, I didn't do anything. The universe just has a sick sense of humor."
Brooke rolled her eyes.
"You are so odd. And yet here you are. Because I might be odd, but I'll never hurt your feelings."
Before Brooke could answer, both girls noticed movement approaching from the far end of the hallway. Chloe Collins power walked toward the bathroom with her head lowered. allowing the enormous blue beret to cover most of her face. A few students passing by pointed and snickered. Chloe's eyes flicked up just long enough to spot Brooke and Jade standing there together. Humiliation flashed across her face as she locked eyes with Brooke, a pleading, desperate look that reached into Jade's center and tugged. And then despite the social suicide, Chloe's face flushed red as her body stiffened, lidded with a fiery, indignant rage. Without a word, Chloe barreled past them and disappeared into the bathroom. Brooke sulked.
See, Jade, this is what I'm talking about.
Jade tilted her head toward the bathroom door as a loud, tortured sob echoed from inside. Brooke's expression fell further.
Nice. We really did a good job. Are we proud of ourselves yet?
For a second, even Jade looked surprised, as if she was contemplating the error of her ways. Another sound, this time a horrible, gut-wrenching cry. Brooke shifted awkwardly.
I think we should just go.
But Jade was already reaching around into the back pocket of her jeans.
What are you doing?
Brooke asked, as Jade pulled out a crumpled dollar bill. Brooke stared dumbfounded.
No,
Brooke whispered immediately, already horrified.
Don't you dare!
Jade grinned wickedly.
She gave you one, right? Fair is fair.
Before Brooke could stop her, Jade hurried into the bathroom. Brooke stood just outside but didn't dare enter. She couldn't bear the thought of being an actual bully, at least not in real life. She had fantasized about this moment countless times. But now, no, she couldn't bring herself to do it. Instead, she waited outside for Jade to come back out. It took a second. When she finally did, it was with a huge ear-to-ear grin.
You should have been in there. How'd it go? Did she cuss you out or something?
No, but she knew. Jade clapped her hands as they got moving. She totally knew it was from us. And that makes it so much better because now we got the monkey off your back. You're untouchable. Brooke had to admit, she did feel kind of good after how bad she felt yesterday. But that was just it. She didn't want Chloe to feel like she'd felt.
Why don't I feel like this is over? You're just being paranoid.
Am I? I don't think Maddie will like this when she hears about it from Chloe.
Oh, don't worry. We have something special in mind for her, real soon.
Brooke wasn't sure what scared her more. Chloe sat on the tile floor in the corner of the biggest stall like some kind of pathetic street junkie.
For the outfit.
The words were like a buzzsaw in her brain. Chloe clenched her jaw so tightly it hurt, as humiliation pulsed through her body in hot flashes. She wanted to die. Actually die. She swore to God if another person, just one more damn person, laughed at her today, she might actually throw herself off the school roof just to make them feel guilty for the rest of their life. With fumbling fingers, she slipped her phone from her purse and hit Maddie's contact. It rang once. Please pick up. Twice. For the love of everything, please pick up. Three times.
Hello? Maddie?
Chloe's voice cracked into a hitching sob. There was a long pause at the other end.
Chloe?
Maddie sounded concerned.
What's wrong?
The kindness broke whatever composure Chloe had left.
Oh my God,
she sobbed hysterically.
Today is literally the worst day of my entire life. What happened? Everything,
Chloe wailed.
Everything happened. The bus, my outfit, everybody keeps staring at me and laughing, and somebody threw chocolate milk at me, and then...
Her voice hitched again.
And then you know that crazy goth girl? She slid a dollar under my stall door.
A pause on the other end, then,
that psycho bitch,
Maddie spat. Chloe cried harder, but felt relieved knowing she wouldn't have to face this alone.
I can't go to class looking like this,
she whispered desperately.
Please, don't make me, please.
You're still in the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay, then listen to me, stay there.
But for first period,
forget first period.
Maddie, attendance.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to help you. She sniffled once.
Really?
You think I'm going to let my best friend walking around like a hot mess? Maddie said. A weak laugh escaped Chloe despite herself as her friend offered a calming tone.
Okay. Okay. I'll be there in 2 seconds. We'll figure this out.
Another sob broke past her lips.
You promise? I promise. The call ended. Chloe released a tremulous whisper and leaned her head back against the cold stall wall. Outside, students continued flooding through the hallway towards first period. But the bell hadn't chimed yet. Not that Chloe cared. As her eyes fell upon that crumpled dollar bill still lying on the tile, another injection of rage soared through her veins. She reached down, snatched it off the ground, and began ripping it into little strips. She grunted and cursed and growled as she tore it further, into ragged little confetti pieces. It felt so good. Brooke slid into her desk beside Jordan, just as the warning bell rang. Miss Delaney stood at the front of the room while students filtered inside, the majority of them still half asleep. Maddie's seat sat empty across the room. Jordan noticed Brooke looking. "She's not here?" Jordan asked. Brooke shrugged. "Like I'd know." The lie tasted dirty on her tongue. Jordan's face drew into a concerned mask. "That's so unlike her. She has perfect attendance, right?" Jordan nodded. "Yeah, maybe I should... Never mind. Maybe you should what?" Jordan shook her head. "I was gonna say call her, but we aren't exactly on speaking terms. Maybe she's sick." Brooke was about to speak, but noticed that Jordan looked completely different today. Gone were the expensive clothes and jewelry from yesterday. Instead, Jordan wore athletic shorts that showed off toned legs, and a red Patterson soccer shirt stretched comfortably over her frame. Her hair was pulled back into a ponytail, messy in a way that looked way less intimidating than yesterday. She must have caught Brooke staring because she raised an eyebrow. "What?" "Nothing," Brooke said quickly. Jordan smirked slightly. "You're doing it again." "Doing what?" "The weird staring thing." Brooke felt heat creep into her cheeks. "Sorry." Jordan leaned back in her chair lazily. "Do you always apologize to people this much?" "Pretty much." "That sounds exhausting." Miss Delaney clapped her hands at the front of the class. "Okay, everyone," she announced. "Today we're beginning preliminary sketches for the project. By Monday next week, I expect a materials list and a rough prototype concept. This will be subject to my approval before you can start your final project." A collective groan rolled through the classroom as Jordan slumped dramatically in her seat. "Kill me," Brooke grinned. "See, this is why you need me, the smart girl." Jordan glanced sideways at her. "You know, you're somehow more annoying than I thought you'd be." "Wow." Brooke pressed a hand against her chest theatrically. "I'm honored. Don't let it go to your head." Brooke pulled out her notebook and flipped to a blank page. "So, what exactly are we making?" Jordan groaned again. "I don't know. An ancient Incan iPhone charger?" Brooke barked a laugh. "Yeah, like they'd have any use for that." "Then what?" "I don't know. It's not like we have to decide right now." Jordan sighed. "I'd like to. I have stuff to do today." Brooke felt concern nibble at her. "We're meeting after school today, right?" Jordan slapped her forehead. "Oh no, I forgot." "We still are, right?" Brooke prodded. "Yeah, sure, whatever." "Great, can you drive me and drive me home after we're done?" Brooke said with a sheepish grin. Jordan's jaw dropped a few good inches. "You're kidding." "Nope, I'm one of those strictly ride the bus girls." "You're a senior and you don't have a car?" Jordan said like it was the most inconceivable thing in the world. "Even my dad's pickup is finicky on a good day." "That's just great, but yeah, sure, whatever." "What do you drive?" Brooke asked, thinking this might play into Jordan's ego. "I bet it's nice." Jordan flashed a smile and sat up. "It's super cool. It's this 2009 Lexus, all silver. It's got a super comfy interior, and it even has a sunroof. My mom got it for me for having a 4.0 GPA all through my junior year. She must be really proud of you." Jordan's eyes unfocused as she bit her lower lip. "Yeah, I guess so. Maybe not if she knew everything, though." Brooke reached out and grasped Jordan's bony shoulder. "You know something? I think I like this version of you way better." Jordan glanced up and offers it a sad smile. "Thanks, Brooke. So we're on for later?" Jordan reached up and took Brooke's hand in her own. "Sure, and maybe we'll stop on the way and get some Taco Bell?" Sounds great,
Brooke said. The two softly laughed together. It wasn't enough. Not nearly enough. Jade hunkered in the dark, deserted janitor closet amongst the brooms, mops, and various chemical spray bottles as she slipped the candle from out of her backpack. The gray wax smelled faintly of fresh linens, but that wasn't what was on her mind. Instead of payback was the order of the day. Jade parted her legs and placed the candle down between them as she pulled out her trusty... ever-trusty lighter and ignited it. She wondered how humiliated Chloe Collins must feel and smiled, knowing that this was nothing compared to what was coming her way. After all, lighting the purple candle with Brooke had been an appetizer. Then the orange candle in the car, and now this for the trifecta. She pulled out another yearbook photo. This, Chloe's goofy one from freshman year, and slipped it into the candle. Jade couldn't resist the grin that spread across her glossy black lips as she lit it. Breathing in the exotic aroma, she leaned her head back and began her ancient chant, the one in a forgotten tongue, the one that no one on this earthly plane could decipher but herself and a few others. When the casting was complete, Jade opened her eyes and stared at the flame dancing in the dark. This did not seal the fate of the curse. Leaning forward, Jade drew her lips and blew the flame out. The smoke wafted upwards. Now it is done. And that's the end of this part. I really hope you're enjoying it so far. If you are, let me know in the comments below. Let me know how you think this is all going to play out. If you are anywhere else, I'm not sure what your options are for commenting, but hey, if you can, I appreciate hearing from you. A huge thank you to my patrons for helping me make this episode, Jarrett for sending in the story, and if you'd like to support this channel, head on over to Patreon or go to shop.storiesaftermidnight.com and buy yourself an awesome t-shirt. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.